I've got a couple other videos of her, and maybe someday I'll play one, but another one. But my kids especially like Eloise. They wanted to stay. But Eloise is kind of fun. I mean, she said her basic message was, get in the game. Get in the game. God doesn't call people to sit on the sidelines. And so I like that whole notion of get in the game. You know, this is one of the best times of the year when it comes to sports. Just 4 weeks ago was the Super Bowl, and the wrong team won. Where's Mark? Yeah, wrong team won, wherever Mark Hegstead is. Yeah, there he is. So in my opinion, but that was just like 4 weeks ago. And then we just had the Olympics. And, you know, there's a lot of people who love the Olympics, and that's a fun time when that happens. Brad Ingram loves the Olympics. He's a closet Olympics nut, and he actually called me the night Sasha Cohen fell twice on the ice, and he was in tears. And we talked about 45 minutes. We spent kind of processing that. But Brad, he snapped back. He came through it. So, true story. So, and it's, you know, it's a great time of year. I mean, next week the NCAA brackets get announced, and it's tourney time. And what else? All the Vikings are on trial. That's a very special time of year. But NASCAR has started. Kevin Tostenson's not here today, but NASCAR started, so he's happy. Spring training's going on. It's about to be, you know, opening season. So it really is a fun time of year when it comes to sports. And so I was thinking of that get in the game kind of motif, and we've been going through, if you haven't been at the Journey for very long, or if you haven't been here for the past couple of weeks or whatever, we've been doing an extended discussion about what is worship truly all about. And what I want to do and what I'm hoping to accomplish over the course of 2 or 3 months here at the Journey is to explode our notion of what worship is. Worship is not just what we did in the past 20 minutes. That is worship, but worship is so much more than that. And so it's my goal over the course of this study to expand our view of worship and understand worship from God's perspective, and that is worship is really how we lead our lives, how we live our lives. And this is called Hearts and Hands, 24/7 worship. What does it mean to worship both with our heart and our hands and lead a lifestyle of worship where we're everything that we do unto God. And that's what I'm hoping to accomplish. We spent time talking about giving. We spent time talking about connecting with God and the different spiritual pathways. Now we're going to spend a few weeks on serving. And serving is something that's really important. It's near to the heart of God. And as we start to talk about serving, I have to acknowledge that it's kind of like talking about giving, because immediately some of you are going, hold on, I already serve. So, man, he's going to be making a pitch at the end of this and asking for more volunteers and stuff like that. And that's not my goal. What my goal is for a lot of you, I mean, we're a volunteer-intensive church. We come here and we need to get set up and, you know, load up the trailer every week and unload it, all that stuff. And we have sound systems to blow up some Sundays. And so we need a lot of volunteers and to do a lot of stuff. And we're volunteer-intensive. We know that. So my goal here isn't to tell people who are already, you know, actively involved, hey, you know, you got to kick it up a notch. What my goal here is I want to fuel those of you who are actively involved, and I want to thank you, and I want to give you fuel and encourage you in that, because it's great when we get into the Word and we can look at what God's heart is for service, how important it is. It's something I think that's energizing and exciting. So that's really my goal. And for those of you who are new to the Journey and haven't gotten plugged in, I want to encourage you to come and get involved, and we're going to explore what it means and why God wants us to serve. So that's really kind of where we're headed. I want to go back as we start, though, to kind of the definition of worship that I'm striving towards, that I keep using. And it's a definition that is pretty simple. It's just leading a surrendered life, a life that is fully surrendered. And I like Jeff Biggers when in their small group. He added a little part to that definition. He said leading a surrendered life, surrendered to and for Jesus. Surrendered to and for Jesus. I really like that. That works for me really well. That's what worship is all about. And so we're going to look at service within that context. If we're trying to live lives of surrender, so fully surrendered to God, what does it mean to be someone who serves? And why is it important to Him? So today we're going to kind of look at some of God's ideas when it comes to service. And I like to start with God's mindset before we delve into what we ought to be thinking. I like to get God's perspective on things. And so we're going to look at four principles that I think are four ideas that God has about service. And we're going to unpack those today. So that's our agenda. If you got a pen, take it out, get grab some paper or something, take some notes. And if you don't have a pen but you got your Bible, get that, because we're going to be hopping around a little bit. All right. So we got four principles, four ideas from God regarding service. Are you ready? Let's get to them. The first one is the upside down principle. That's principle number one, the upside down principle. In fact, if you're a really good note taker, you might turn your page upside down and write it upside down. I tried to do that, but we can't figure that out with our software. So I was going to. But anyway, maybe if someone could just turn the screen up. Never mind. Okay, so the upside down principle. Here's the deal. Jesus had this interesting conversation with a woman, and then with her two sons, and then with her disciples. And we're going to take a look at that right away in Matthew 20. If you can turn to Matthew 20, and we'll read together. It's a short little encounter that Jesus has, and it starts at verse 20. So read along with me, Matthew 20, verse 20. The mother of Zebedee's sons, in other words, Zebedee's mother, or Zebedee's son's mother, and Zebedee's sons, by the way, are James and John. So Matthew could have wrote this a little clearer. He could have just said James and John's mom came to Jesus with her sons and, kneeling down, asked a favor of him. What is it you want? Jesus asked. She said, grant that one of the two of these sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in the kingdom. You don't know what you're asking, Jesus said to them. Can you drink the cup I'm going to drink? Yeah, we can, they answered. Jesus said to them, you indeed will drink from my cup, but to sit at the right or the left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father. When the ten, the other disciples, heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. Why didn't we think of this first, they thought. So they said, Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to serve, to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. That's what I call the upside down principle. We have a God who is a God of paradox. And by that, I mean, he's the God of David and Goliath. He uses David to slay Goliath. And he uses the small to bring down the mighty. God is constantly flipping things on their head and saying, you know, the meek shall inherit the earth. And you know what? Those among you who want to be great, if you want to be great, learn to be a servant. And that's the upside down principle. God's heart is for us. If we want to be great in his kingdom, then we need to become a slave to him. We need to become a servant to him. That runs contrary to what the world says. In the world's mind, how do you become great? You accumulate power. You accumulate influence. You learn how to, well, what's the book? How to Win Friends and Influence People. You know, how can I become a more influential person, more successful? I need to learn how to influence people. I need to learn how to exercise authority. I need to gather wealth, amass power. If I can do that, if I can influence outcomes in the business world, then all of a sudden I'm going to be great in the world's eyes. But Jesus says this. I'm flipping that upside down. If you want to be great in the kingdom, if your aspiration is to be a big kingdom player, then learn to be a servant. Serve me. That's what my heart is. And Jesus modeled that for us. He said, I didn't come to be served, but I came to serve. I came to lay down my life as a ransom for many. That's a powerful concept. And it's not the way the world typically thinks. Not the way the world thinks. So we have, right out of the gate, we see God's great flip-flop when it comes to service. He says, you know what, it's not about being served, it's about serving. And as I look at that, you know, I think sometimes when we come to serve, we don't really focus on that. What we do a lot of times, when we're talking about the spiritual pathways, we talk about the danger of spiritual judgmentalism. Said, you know, I'm on this pathway and you're not, so I must be a better Christian than you. Same thing can happen when we're serving. You know, we start to say, hey, you know what? I serve in this way, and my role is much more crucial than your role in the church. Maybe because my role is more public than your role, or my role is more upfront, and you know, it's more, you know, the church really needs great drummers, so I must be, you know, and I'm not picking on Beto wherever he is, or where is he? He left. Oh, there he is. I'm not picking on drummers or anything. So if I talk about hero team or anything, I'm not picking on anyone today. I'm just picking roles within the church. So here, I'll use my wife. Maybe, you know, media shout, that's an important role. But, you know, that doesn't mean that that's any more crucial than any other role. And sometimes we start to enter into judgmentalism. What we got to remember is that Jesus has given us a challenge. He said, I want you to become a slave. I want you to become a slave to me. And until we have that down in our own lives, we shouldn't presume to go about, you know, judging other people and looking over their shoulders to see how they're doing. You kind of get that? Well, there's a judgmentalism factor that can start to creep in when we start to serve. And in the spirit of this, Jesus is saying, you know what? Focus on yourself. And if you want to be great in my kingdom, just focus on that. Become a servant. Become a servant. Don't worry about what everyone else is doing. Worry about yourself first. Get that taken care of. So that's principle number one, upside down principle. God's great flip flop. Greatness comes from being a servant. Here's the second thing. The second thing is what I call the do-to principle. The do-to principle. To help you understand this, I want to tell you a story about 2 summers ago. I went to the Apple Valley pool. My brother and his family live down in Apple Valley. They come and visit here pretty regularly. And they've got a nice pool down there with a lot of slides and stuff like that. We went down there one day and we were swimming. And my oldest son wanted to go diving. He wanted to, you know, go off the springboard, whatever. And I said, all right, I'll go and do that. And I'm going on the springboard. And I took all kinds of swimming classes when I was in elementary school and took lifeguard classes, Red Cross stuff. And I was just a total fish when I was a little kid. Loved the pool. You couldn't get me out of the pool. And so I decided, you know, I'm going to go and do like one of my old dives because I still can do that. And so I went and I, you know, like measured my steps on the board and I went back and I did the delivery and I did the walk up and whatever. I got a good spring and did a nice dive. And I kind of came out of the water and I looked over and I kind of see out of my corner of my eye. See, there's a woman over there and she's kind of watching me. And I thought, you know, that's kind of nice. Guy my age doesn't have that happen very often. So I went back and, Josh, you want to get in line again? All right, let's do that. And I went and got in line again, and I got up there and I did the same dive. She was still looking at me. So I swam over there. I said, Andrea? I said, did you see me dive? She said, yeah, I did. She goes, were you showing off for me? And I said, I might have been. I don't know. You kind of, you like that? And she goes, yeah, I kind of like it if you're showing off for me. I said, and I probably was. And I realized it was like the first time in 15 years she had never seen me dive off a diving board. And I did it pretty well. And I saw, out of the corner of my eye, I saw that she was noticing it. And we had this kind of like 100 feet away, we had this little flirting thing going on. And I was diving. I wasn't diving for my kid. I wasn't diving for me. I wasn't like some kind. I was diving for her. And that's what gave me the fuel to dive. That's what gave me the desire to dive, because it was just this kind of magnetic little thing going back and forth between us. And it was really fun. And the same thing is true when it comes to service. Here's what Paul says in Colossians. As we live our lives, Paul says this. We can go to Colossians 3:17. Check that in your Bible. And Paul says this. He's finishing up a section on how to live your life in a holy way. What to do, what not to do. And he says this kind of catch-all phrase. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever we do, we should be doing it for him. And that needs to fuel us when we're serving. That needs to fuel us. It becomes kind of like, you know, I'm not just diving for my wife now, but I'm diving for God. And that's, you know, but it's the kind of same affection and the same kind of love. It's my Heavenly Father who's watching me as I'm doing everything today. And that can fuel me, and that can fuel my, you know, when, oh, I don't want to get up. It's snowing this morning. I don't want to have to go set up chairs at the journey. I'd rather just sleep in. And guess what? When I realize that I'm not just getting and sitting up chairs for, you know, everyone who's coming here, but I'm doing this for Jesus, that's going to be something that fuels me. Jesus said it even more kind of bluntly. Let's look at Matthew 25. This is in a section of teaching that Jesus gave just before he was arrested. And in Matthew 25, Jesus tells this to his disciples. It says this: when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he'll separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He'll put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, you came to visit me." And the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in? Or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." And then Jesus goes on to say the opposite for those who didn't do anything. "Whatever you didn't do for anyone who was in need, you didn't do to me." And there's a powerful premise here at work, and there's a powerful truth from God, and that is that when we do things to other people, when we serve in the name of Jesus Christ, it is the same as doing it to Jesus. When you're in the nursery and you change a diaper, you're changing the diaper of Jesus. It's true. It's true. When you're driving down the road and you help someone with a flat tire, you're changing the flat tire of Jesus. Because you're doing it in His name, doing everything for Him and to Him. You see, that's just like diving for my wife. It's just like diving. When you get that mindset, when you allow that to penetrate into your soul, that's going to give you fuel. I want to do the best dive I could when my wife was watching, because it was a really just magical kind of moment between the two of us. And the same thing, you know, when we're driving down the road and I can reach out and touch someone, I want to do that as best as I can. You see how encouraging that is? We sometimes give up. We sometimes get despair. We're serving. We're working in the toddler room or the nursery. We're doing setup. We're doing sound. Whatever we're doing. Or we're out in the world, not just serving in the church, but doing something out there, trying to reach people. And we lose hope. And we get frustrated. We got to remember, we're doing this not just to and for the people that we're working with, but we're doing it in the name of Jesus. We're doing it for Jesus. He's watching us, loving what we're doing, and that needs to fuel us. That needs to inspire us. So we can take it, you know, we can just say, you know, I don't even feel like doing it today. Everything's going wrong with sound. I mean, you saw Brad do it today. That's what fueled him. He was just saying, this is just about Jesus. And I'm coming today, God, I just want to give this to you. Things are going wrong, but it's okay. Because, God, we're diving for you. We're diving for you. So we got the flip-flop principle, the upside-down principle. Greatness comes through serving. And now we have the do-to principle. We do things not just for the other people that are around us, but we do them to Jesus. Here's the third principle. The third principle I'm going to call the work-through principle. The work-through principle I was going to call the couch potato principle, but I didn't really feel good calling God a couch potato. I don't know. I didn't. It kind of struck me. I'm a pretty good couch potato. I got a system down. You know, whether I'm sitting in a restaurant. We went to a restaurant last night. We ate and I'm really good at when I'm finishing my pop, I watch for the kids. And as soon as I need a refill, I watch for the kids, and one of them gets up to get a pop. And I could be talking over here, and a kid is running by me, and I go, "Coke." And I just hand him the glass. I don't even break concentration. Coke. And it works really well. And then I have this, if you're a couch potato, you have to have excellent peripheral vision. And so I've got this peripheral vision thing down there. If a kid runs to the bathroom while I'm watching the football game, I'm like, "Chips, get chips." I don't miss a play. And there's a beautiful system to it. And it, you know, part of that comes with age and maturity. And you know, you've got kids and they become your indentured servants. And I like that. But But here's the thing. God works in a similar way. Okay, I'm real selfish when I do it. God isn't. God is sovereign. And God, in his sovereignty, could accomplish anything that he wants to do. But what is his plan? His plan is to use us. His plan is to use us. The picture that he most frequently uses to describe the church is what in the New Testament? His body. It's his body. We're the body of Christ. And how does God act and move in the world right now? It's through his body, through the body of Christ. Great song that's out right now. We're his hands. You know, if we are his hands, why aren't his? If we are his hands, help me with the lyrics. The lyrics. I'm sorry, did I wake you up? If we are his body, why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't his hands? You know the song. See, I told you knew the song. But it's a great word picture that God has given us, and it's rich. We're his body, and you know what that connotes? That connotes function. And function connotes service. If we're to function as a body, that means we come together to act as a body. We come together to serve jointly. And that's what God does. God works through us. God works through us. I pulled this verse out, so it's not up there right now. But turn to it quickly, because I love this verse. Andrea, it's not there. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Paul says this, "Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him." Circle that word, through us. God works through us to spread the knowledge of Jesus, the fragrance of Jesus all over the earth. God works through us. He could do it by himself completely in his sovereignty, but he chooses not to. His plan is, it was that third song that we sang, He could do it because he's God, but he chooses instead. He doesn't rely on us. He wasn't created by anyone. He is completely sovereign, but he chooses to use us because that's what his plan was. He wants to use us. He wants to work through us. 2 Corinthians 2:14 tells us that, but even more vividly is 1 Corinthians 12. Flip to 1 Corinthians 12 and read with me. But we're not going to read the whole chapter, but it's a rich chapter where Paul talks about the functionality of the body, how we come together. Start at verse 12. Paul says this, "The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but many. If the foot should say, I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? The whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body." We're going to stop there. Paul keeps going on with that analogy. It's a very rich analogy, but it's all about function. It's all about us coming together in unity to serve. To serve. Service is at its core. Pretty powerful stuff. Here's the thing I want you to understand, though, and it leads us into the fourth thing, the fourth principle. And the fourth principle is this. I call it the ordered chaos principle. The ordered chaos principle is something that we really need to keep in mind. When we come together to work and to serve in the name of Christ, it's not always going to be a pretty picture. I had a friend, one of my best friends, who's a pastor up in Brainerd, Mark Biorlo. He calls his church a beautiful mess. And in many ways, pretty much any church you walk into is a beautiful mess. It's made up of people who are followers of Christ. That makes it beautiful, but a lot of times it's messy because we're still imperfect people. And we get together and we work together and we have insecurities, and we have imperfections, and we sometimes get territorial, and we sometimes want the spotlight, even though we shouldn't have that as a motivation for serving. And we sometimes We were finding ourselves working next to people that, you know what, I don't even know if I like that person. If it weren't for us going to the same church, I don't even know if I'd like that person. But you know what? We're part of the same body, part of the same family. And God has called us together. And so that becomes kind of a chaotic thing for us. And sometimes it's hard to serve because we find ourselves sometimes not liking the other person. Or we get frustrated when somebody doesn't show up. They forget to call and say, hey, I can't make it for setup. Or I can't do this. Or I can't do that. Or you think someone's perfect for, hey, you'd be wonderful leading a small group. And then they say, you know what, I'm just too committed right now. And then you feel, oh, man, I could just see that. And then you feel frustrated. And so there's this, sometimes as we're working together, we're rubbing up against each other and things are happening. There's conflict. There's personalities that become involved. And it becomes a little bit chaotic. But you know what? There's beauty in that chaos. And here's what I want you to look at. Paul just didn't write, there's a body, and it needs to function together as a body. But Paul went on, and he wrote the next chapter, and this is what it says. Now I want to show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but I don't have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy, can fathom all mysteries, I have knowledge and all knowledge. If I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give everything I have, everything I possess to the poor, and surrender my body to the flames, but I have not love, I gain nothing. Paul talks about service there. Paul is talking about the different gifts that people within the body have. Gifts of faith or prophecy or giving or speaking in tongues. If I can do any of those things, but I don't have love, I am nothing. Paul knows and God knows that when we are serving together, we're going to find ourselves in the midst of chaos. And it's going to be hard for us sometimes. We're going to want to throw our hands up and say, I quit. I just can't handle this anymore. It's too much. People ask too much of me. And Paul says this, and God tells us this. Remember, love has to undergird all of it. When you're coming together to serve, let love be your motivation. Love for Jesus, love for one another. Let that be the thing that is overflowing from you while you're serving. Because otherwise, you're going to get burned out. Otherwise, you're going to go crazy. You follow that? And there's such a beautiful flow. We take this chapter, we just yank it out of there, and we read it in weddings. And we go, love is patient, love is kind. And you know, Paul is just like yelling at people here because the people in Corinth just couldn't even get together and function together as a body. And Paul is taking them to task, saying, you gotta love one another. You gotta understand that you're a body. Come together, function together. Leave aside your differences. And let love reign in your hearts. And then you'll be able to serve. Then you'll be able to serve. That is the kind of stuff that's going to make getting up at 8:15 to be on Hero Team a lot easier. When we understand that we're doing it to Jesus. When we understand that being great in His kingdom means that we start by serving. When we understand that God wants to reach the world through us. And that everything that we do on His behalf is part of His plan and part of His sovereign plan to reach the world. And when we bring in the love, when we understand that it's going to be chaotic, we say, God, I know that. When I come and serve, it's not always going to be easy. Wow, it gets a lot easier to serve, doesn't it? You see that? God's ideas of service are phenomenal. So let's talk response. What do we do in response to this? God's got some great stuff to tell us. And I got some possible responses for you. Here's one thing you might want to do. And here's, by the way, if you have your registration card, I want to encourage you, pick one of these responses and commit to that. Write it on the back of your response card and say, I'm going to commit to that this week. And here's a number of responses that I have for you. First one is to memorize Colossians 3:17. That's the verse we started with. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it unto the name of Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Memorize that. It's a great verse. That is what will fuel you as you're serving. That is what will fuel you when the toddlers are driving you crazy and you're in there and you're going, when is service going to end? And you can have that in there and you can just know that, you know what, oh, I'm doing this. I am loving these toddlers in the name of Jesus. And this is going to pay dividends sometime, you know, 20 years from now or 40 years from now or 60 years from now when these little kids are the pastors of tomorrow. And that's going to, you know, wow. What a powerful thing that is. How much can that fuel you? memorize that verse. Maybe that's your response. Commit to that if that's what you want to do. Here's another thing. Here's a second response. Respond by praying about your motives for serving. Pray about your motives. Commit to spending some time this week searching your heart, saying, God, am I serving? Am I on worship team because I like to be up front? Am I doing this because I just want other people to see me? Am I doing that because I'm hoping for affirmation from people? If we have motives like that, it's not going to be good service, first of all. And second of all, it's going to be something where we're going to burn out pretty easily. So the motive needs to be that we're doing stuff for God. We're doing stuff for Jesus because He works through us and He wants us to do everything in His name and to Him. That needs to be our motivation. So some of us need to spend time praying through that. And if that's your response, then commit to that. Pray through your motives this week. Here's a third response. You can respond by opening up your mind to all of God's principles. And by that, I mean some of you maybe enjoy serving, and that's great. But you may not understand what God's plan is and that He wants to actually work through you. You may not have understood all of those four kind of principles. You may not have understood the upside down principle that starting or that to attain greatness in the kingdom is to serve. And so some of you may have just said, I just want to be involved in leadership and I don't want to ever do any kind of service. I don't want to get my hands dirty doing anything. Some of us need to kind of pray through that and say, God, I want to understand all of your principles for service. Here's a fourth thing. Some of you may need to respond by prayerfully considering serving. Some of you may not be involved at all. And you're saying, I just keep coming and I really ought to, there's some eye-opening stuff here today. And like I said, we're not here to recruit people today or anything like that. But God is going to be working on some of you as you look at His Word and as you hear His heart for service. You say, wow, I want to get involved. I'd like to hear about opportunities. Pray about that. I'm not asking you to commit today. I'm not going to ask you to commit 3 weeks from now, 2 weeks from now. I'm not going to ask you to do that. You can communicate your interest about getting involved on the response card itself. So just do that, but pray about it. Here's the fifth response, and this is don't give up. Don't give up. Being involved in a church plant like us where we have to do this set up and tear down thing every week, that's a hard gig, week in and week out. And it's tiring. I tell you, the thing that tires me out the most is hitching up the trailer and unhitching it. It sounds like a stupid little thing, but you know what? It's like 15 minutes. Pete Klaus comes and does it once a month for me, and it's like heaven. Andrea will tell you, I'm like giddy the morning that Pete comes because I'm like, I don't have to hitch up the trailer. I don't have to, but I need to pray through that. I need to not give up because you know what? Hitching the trailer, if I don't hitch the trailer, we ain't having church. And it's like, that's a pretty important step in the whole process. And so that's something that I need to pray through, but it's also something, I can't give up on that. I mean, that's part and parcel of the calling is that, hey, we're doing this thing and we've got this work here in Maple Grove. And we're seeing people's lives change and we can't give up. We can't give up. And from time to time, all of us come to the point where I just want to give up. And we got to hear God's heart and say, God, you hear God's heart when He says to us, I want to work through you. I want to work through you and reach other people. What an amazing concept that is. We got to hear God's heart and say back to God, yeah, I'm not going to give up, God. I'm going to dive for you. I'm going to do the best swan dive you ever saw, the best belly flop. Whatever you call me to do, God, I'm going to do that. That's God's heart for service. Next week we're going to explore more aspects of service, but that's it for this week. We're going to take our offering as we close. We're going to sing. So pray with me and we'll be finishing up. Lord, we don't always understand the amazing nature of your plan. When you call us and you say to us that you don't just want to forgive us, but that you want to turn us loose and you want to use us to advance your kingdom. You want to use us in service, and that you see us as fit for service. It's an amazing, amazing concept, God. And I pray that you'll make that more real to us this week. God, we want to dive for you. We want to do stuff for you, knowing that you're watching, knowing that you're looking down on us, and that you're smiling, that you're pleased with us, God. Because you are. You love us. You're a God of love. And you're a God who in your grace and in your mercy, you look down on us and you said, yes, I love you and I want to use you. Thanks for being a God who's done that. Your grace is amazing. Let us respond to that grace, God. Let us respond by becoming your servants. I pray that you'll give us all servants' hearts. Thanks for this time of learning. And thanks for a time that we have now, a chance to give back to you in offerings. We ask in Christ's name, amen. If you're a guest here today, we take our offering right now. And the only thing we'd ask you to put in the offering basket is your response card, letting us know that you were here today. If you want to give, support the money, support the journey financially, you can do that. But we just really are looking for your response card. Thanks.